During my college years, I was actually in a band called the Holy Grail, and this is when the San Francisco sound was starting to become pretty dominant in '67. And then the school that I went to, actually Alice went to the same junior college, Glenn went to the same college, and Dennis went to the same college.
So that's where you guys met?
So the four of us really met there, yeah, and also John Spear, who was their drummer at the time, who was also a friend of mine. John was also went to the college as well, but that's where we sort of met there, and then that's when Glenn and I, Glenn Buxton, the guitar player, the other blonde in the band, that's when I found out, if we were hanging around for a while, that he was also from Akron, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, he was born and raised right in Akron.
How long did he stay in Akron?
He moved out, I think, in 61. I moved in 62 because he was there 2 years longer than I was.
And you guys had never crossed paths in Akron before?
No, we didn't even know each other at all. And so it's like, it's like when you go away on a vacation or, and you meet somebody from your same state. I mean, you have something in common.
Right.
But, I mean, we're not only from the same state. We were from the same, the same town. So we didn't go to the same high schools, but it was just very cool. So, he and I became like lifetime friends until, his unfortunate and too soon passing in 1997, and he lived in Iowa then. But anyway, so the band got together and we were in rival bands in high school or in college. So the band I was in 1967 took off for San Francisco, and then the Alice Cooper at that time was called the Nazz, NAZZ, and they went to Los Angeles. So the band I was with ended up breaking up, and I went back to Phoenix. And that summer of love, then that's when Jimi Hendrix played at Monterey with The Who, and I mean, it's just the music that was going on then was phenomenal. And I went back to Phoenix, and then they were coming back and forth once in a while, so I hooked up with them, and a couple of times we went out into the desert and just jammed. Dennis, brought his bass, Glenn brought his guitar, Mike Bruce brought his guitar, took one amp, I took one snare drum and a cymbal, and we just went out in the desert, and they have these places like family pavilions out there, where there's electricity, and so we just hung around all night drinking some beer and playing some, just jamming. And actually some of that music probably ended up on our very first album with Frank Zappa, Pretty's for You.
So the Nazz was broken up at this time?
No.
No?
No, they just asked me as a friend.
Okay.
Just mutual friendship. This was still like the middle of the end of summer, and I didn't join the band till I went back to California in October, they were already in California, but I didn't go back over there because, like I said, they came back and forth once in a while because their families obviously lived in Phoenix. So, and that was pretty much it. But then I went back and I asked them, because they're buddies of mine, and they lived in Santa Monica at the time, would they mind if I moved in with them, because I had my drums and I wanted to go back to California and kind of, reestablish myself as a musician. And instead of doing it in Phoenix, I wanted to make the move to California. And because I'd already, by that time played an awful lot in a lot of bands, and I just, wanted to look for a band to make that commitment. And within a couple of weeks after I'd moved in with him, there were some problems with, and I still don't know what the deal was, whether John quit or whether they asked him to leave. But it just happened to be, I was there, and I was good friends with Glenn and Michael at that time. And so when they kicked him out, didn't kick him out, but whenever John left the band, like I say, I don't know the reason that he left, actually, or how it occurred, but he went back to Phoenix, and they asked me if I wanted to join, and the rest is kind of history after that.
So how long were you in the band before you scored your first record deal?
Well, I joined, it was in October of 67, and it was, I think, probably spring or summer of 60, it was 1968. It was within a year we had a record deal.
Okay.
With Frank Zappa.
So you were playing out a lot in that time?
Yeah. No, we played out all the time, yeah.
How did you get hooked up with Zappa?
Well, it was in March of 1968 when we heard that Todd Rundgren had a band. His band was called the Nazz.
Uh-huh.
We said, okay, we've got to change the name of the band. And through, different, the name Alice Cooper was thrown around. There were a couple of other names, too. But just one night, it was in March, we decided to call the band Alice Cooper. And then we played on March 16th, 1968, we played in Santa Barbara, California with Blue Cheer and Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And we called ourselves Alice Cooper for the very first time. And so with a name like that in Los Angeles, you had to be pretty weird in Los Angeles to get noticed in the 60s. And right away we started a whole new level of people that we affiliated ourselves with, and a lot of them were people that knew Frank Zappa. And the GTOs, which was an all-girls singing chorus that were girls together outrageously, obscenely, any O word you can think of, fit with the GTOs. but they were friends of ours, and Miss Christine was actually Frank Zappa's babysitter.
Okay.
And babysat at the time for the infant baby, infamous Moon Unit. And so... And Alice was kind of dating Miss Christine at the time, so he'd go over there, and so people that we knew all the mothers, and anybody that had an all male band called Alice Cooper, it was something that Frank was definitely interested in. So we went over and did an interview with him, or not an interview, we did an audition for him, and through the grapevine we said, somebody said, come over at 7:00. We said, okay, 7:00. I said, that was kind of weird, He said. Because we said, why did he want us to come over at 7:00 in the morning? But we said, oh, what the heck, we'll go 7:00 in the morning. So we went over there, and we knocked on the door, and we go down into his basement studio, because it's like right there in his house. Started taking the stuff in, and he comes out and he goes, what the hell are you guys doing here? And I said, we said we're here to audition for it at 7:00. I said 7:00 this evening. Not this morning. He's got his bathrobe on, his slippers, and a cup of coffee. And he goes, oh, geez, it's why you're here. He says, go ahead and play. So we played, and we did all the songs off Love It to Death, and he, I guess, not Love It to Death, but Pretty's For You, sorry. All the songs off of Pretty's For You, and he liked it, and so let's do a record. So that was how we got the deal.
Were a lot of those songs on Pretty's For You, had they been around for a long time, or were they newly written?
They were around and being written probably, because when I had joined the band in October of 67, some of those songs had started, and then we started writing some other ones. So they had been, if they'd been around, they were all within a year old, let's put it that way.
How many of those songs did you have writing credit on?
Well, at that time, we all shared writing credit together. So every song on Pretty's For You and Easy Action, our second album with Frank Zappa, every song on those albums, it says, if you read it, it'll say Mike Bruce, Glenn Buxton, Alice Cooper, Dennis Dunaway, and Neil Smith on every single song. But when we wrote the song, it was a collaboration, in the truest sense of the word. And also, that was just the way we wanted to do it. But actually, there was only one song that I had that I actually wrote the whole song on Pretty's For You. It was a song, it was a real casual kind of jazz song called Apple Bush. And that was the only one that I, penned myself from scratch. And then again, put it into the mix and we all collaborated on it. But everything else, I was adding, doing my thing to it. And there were some, the production was not that great, obviously, on the record, but there were some interesting songs, to say the least.
So when that record came out, did you guys immediately hit the road and start doing a bunch of shows?
And basically with Frank Zappa, because he was doing a tour that he was on up the West Coast from Los Angeles up to Vancouver, Canada. And so we jumped on the road with him, and the album I don't think was released till early 1969.
So how long did you tour with Frank Zappa after Pretty's For You was released?
Well, it was probably like a couple of weeks. And then after that period of time, we would just, hit and miss, do shows once in a while. But then after that, see, what happened before we released Pretty's For You, he wanted us to sign with his manager, Herbie Cohen, that managed Frank. And we said, well, wait a minute. Herbie manages you. We want a manager that manages us. And so right after we had done the audition for Frank, and we were sort of looking for a manager. And believe me, in Los Angeles, it's not an easy task to do that, especially with a band like us. In the meantime, my sister, and I'll just explain real quickly, my sister Cindy is married to Dennis Dunaway, our bass player from Alice Cooper.
Uh-huh.
And they've been together since the late 60s, early 70s. And they have two great kids, and they live about a half hour from where I live in Connecticut. And so we were looking for a manager, and Cindy worked in a boutique, you know, a clothing store, you know, with clothing fashions from the 60s in Los Angeles, in Hollywood at the time. And she was at the store, and these two guys walk in, you know, New York-looking dudes, long hair and mustaches and hats, and, you know, looking kind of like they're out of a, you know, one of the set, like Shaft or something like that, you know. And, you know, one of the movies from the 60s or 70s, where somebody's just trying to, you know, that New York look, looking cool. And so she, you know, they started a conversation, and Cindy asked them, you know, what they, because they came over to, I mean, yeah, she is a beautiful girl and long blonde hair and probably had a short skirt on working in the boutique. They went over, started talking to her, started a conversation, and she asked them, she says, what do you guys do? You know, and they said, well, so we're here from Los Angeles, we're here from New York, come out to L.A. to find a band to manage because, you know, we just graduated from business school in Buffalo, New York, and we came out here to find a band to manage. She goes, well, that's interesting. She goes, my brother's in a band, and that's how it started. That was the very first conversation that ever led Shep Gordon, who, you know, along with Alice Cooper, he managed Blondie and Rick James and Teddy Pendergrass and Luther Vandross and Ann Murray. So, I mean, you know, he's retired about 10 years ago, but he had a strong career in the business. So he saw us play and he managed us, and we were the first band he ever worked with, and, you know, obviously the first and only manager that the name Alice Cooper was ever affiliated with.